If you'll go with us to the book of Acts, chapter 28, and Brother Reed, could you help me with some scriptures tonight? I appreciate it. God bless you. Acts chapter number 28. Appreciate this church family. You all mean a lot to us, and we've had such a close fellowship. Your pastor and us, and we're just thankful for Brother and Sister Wirth. I want to read in Acts chapter 28. And a few verses here in the 28th chapter. Paul is on a journey here. Quite a journey. And been through much. And so we're coming to the close. We're not coming to the close of the book of Acts because the book of Acts is here tonight. There's no amen after the book of Acts. We're living in the book of Acts. Praise the Lord. But let's look at Acts 28, beginning verse number 1. And when they were escaped, then they knew that the island was called Melita, and the barbarous people showed us no little kindness. For they kindled a fire and received us every one because of the present rain and because of the cold. And when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, there came a viper out of the heat and fastened on his hand. When the barbarians saw this venomous beast hang on his hand, they said among themselves, "No doubt this man is a murderer, whom though he hath escaped the sea, yet vengeance suffereth not to live." He shook off the beast into the fire and felt no harm. Howbeit they looked when he should have swollen or fallen down dead suddenly, but after they had looked a great while and saw no harm come to him, they changed their minds and said that he was a god. I want us to pray for the Lord to help us tonight. God, we thank you for your word. Thank you for your spirit tonight, God. Lord, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Master. Thank you, Master. Thank you, Master. Oh, God. Bless these good people and all our guests tonight, God. Do a great work in this service, God. We give you praise and honor tonight in the name of Jesus. Let's give him a hand clap of praise. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. And you may be seated. There's so much to this story, because there's so many places that you pinpoint certain experiences where Paul has been on a ship and come to this island through a shipwreck. And that's where we begin here tonight, is that the ship that he was on, himself and 275 more souls, which included more prisoners. He was a prisoner, centurion, and the mariners, the crew, the captain. But they hit stormy seas, and there was a broken ship. In fact, when you look at the last verse of 27, the Bible said that the rest and some on boards and some on broken pieces of the ship. And so it came to pass that they escaped all safe to land. He had told everybody on this ship when it was breaking up to abide in the ship, and no harm, there would be no loss of life. Every one of them would survive the shipwreck. Every one of them. And some could swim, but some had to look for a board or a broken piece of this vessel that they could hang on to. They were busted up in the rocks. and they were close to an island. But they all came safely to shore. I want to insert here that you need to hang on to every part of the church. I said you need to hang on to every part, everything in the church. I can guarantee you that you will make it to safety. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. And though the righteous run into it and they are safe. I feel like I'm in a safe place here tonight. Amen. And sometimes you're just going to hang on. Hang on to something. Hang on to the message that you heard preached. Hang on to the song service. The words that minister to your situation. This is not all just some script up here. This is orchestrated by the Almighty God. And we're not puppets here tonight. We're real people. We're real living people tonight that need something to hold on in this hour that we're living in. Oh, praise the Lord, everybody. I feel something great in this place worth hanging on to. What a great Savior we have in the house tonight. They really didn't know where they landed. Amen. Let me just tell you like it is. When you're brand new in the church, you really don't know what you're part of when you start out. You really don't understand everything. But I do know one thing. The church did for me in just a little while more than the world could ever do for me. Amen. The friendship and the fellowship and the touch of God. I never got that out in this world. I never had a friendship like the friendship of Jesus Christ. And the friendship and the fellowship. Praise the Lord. For the Bible said, if we'll walk in the light as He is in the light, we will have fellowship one with another. Praise the Lord. Friday nights used to be geared for the party, for the lifestyle. But now, amen, it's the new life. Praise the Lord. Lifestyles cost a lot. They're very costly. But when God gives you a life, it will pay off for you. I said it'll bring dividends in. It'll bring a lot. Everything you sow and everything you put into this church. That when you pray, you're investing your time, investing your voice and your heart. It will bring forth for you. Praise the Lord. In fact, it'll make a change in your home. It'll make a change in your situations. Don't expect it just immediately like a microwave, but you take this home. It will penetrate into circumstances and situations, and it will work for you. It may have to work in a lot of tears, but that's okay. God works in tears. God works in laughter. That's why sometimes we cry, sometimes we laugh, but it's all for the Lord. I'm thankful for the emotional feeling that you have in the church. It is righteousness, but it is peace, it is joy in the Holy Ghost. Two-thirds of this is emotional. I'm not worried about the righteousness because you get the joy and peace that God offers. Amen. That will carry you through into a life living for God. But there are times the emotion does not seem to be very deep. But we keep walking in faith. We keep holding on. God's not going to let us sink. God's not going to let us perish. He'll have a place that we can float to if we have to. Praise the Lord. But he will see us through. And they didn't even really know where they landed until they were informed by the people of this island called Melita. In fact, historically, this place became named as the Bay of the Apostle Paul. The Bay of the Apostle Paul, what a place to go see. But the seamen, they actually defined this place as a place of being lost. They did not know where they were. They did not understand. But I will say this, one thing great about the Bible, one thing we have to recognize when we come into his presence is that we're lost without him. I said we're lost without him. That's good that God can bring us to that place that we're lacking. We don't have everything we need. We've got a piece of this page of the Bible or part of that. We've got this thing called I believe in God. But you realize, hey man, I've got to have more than just a little spark. I've got to have what it takes to be a recipient of a believer in Christ Jesus. Can I get a witness tonight? Oh, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And so here they were, and they had no idea of their location. But the Apostle Paul, he had such an influence, and he knew that the ship was going to survive because Jesus came to him many chapters prior to this, came to him in a prison in Jerusalem and told him, "Don't you be afraid, Paul. There were people out to get him. You're going to make it to Rome." He was on his way to Rome to appear before Caesar. You can read in your Bible where Paul salutes the saints of God. He salutes the locations of these churches that were established in the book of Acts. He also salutes the household of Caesar, the saints. He won people to apostolic truth, connected with the household of Caesar. Isn't that awesome that people in renowned places can come to the knowledge and the revelation of Jesus Christ and understand that the Acts 2:38 salvation can affect anybody, that whosoever will, let them come. It does not matter our last name. It does not matter our situations. In fact, it's the devil's business to make us feel like we're worthless. We're worth nothing to anybody. But God lets us know, hallelujah, that we are worth something. God puts that self-esteem and picks us back up to realize that we are worthy. He has made us worthy by the price that he paid for our salvation. Hallelujah. Not that we become high-minded, not that we become, but God wants everybody to have that measure of faith and self-worth. Hallelujah. And the key is we just keep humbling ourselves under the mighty hand of God. And in his time, he will exalt us. Hallelujah. There is revival here. Amen. So still believe that there's going to be continual move of God in these last days of time. I know we're close to it, but thank God for the church tonight. Amen. But the Apostle Paul really wasn't like a North Star that you can fix your eye upon or you can navigate by. But Paul was more like a planet. Paul was more like a planet, and he kind of revolved around the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. His whole life revolved around the work of God. The work of God. I see young people here tonight. Just let your life revolve around what's going on in the church. That's the most important calendar in your life. What's going on in the church this week? What can I do to be a blessing to the church? God has something going on here that's better than what's going on out there. There's a lot of heartache. And yes, there's heartache in our families, their situations in our family, but we have the Lord. We have a saving Savior in our home. Praise the Lord, everybody. Are you thankful that Jesus Christ came to this earth, God manifest in the flesh? Are you thankful? Hallelujah. Amen. I know we like to travel around the storm, but you just can't evacuate this storm that we go through like we can the natural storms where they're evacuating as we speak here tonight. Amen. In our country of storms. Praise the Lord, but we have to go through some storms. We have to go through some storms, and we've got to hang on to fragments, but that's why there's always something to hang on to after every service. There's always baskets that are left over that everybody can take home and hold on to something in that service. I don't understand everything, but if I'll just keep coming back and I'll keep reading my Bible and keep trusting in the Lord, everything's going to be all right. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And so here they are on this island, and they did not know really where they were. But the Bible tells us that there was a barbarous people. I mean, when you look at it, you think, well, it must have been people that had four eyes, six fingers in each hand, and just looked all like, man, where'd they come from? But the reason they were called barbarians is simply because they were not Greek. That's how they were identified. Amen. But these people on this island, the Bible said that these people showed us no little kindness. You read that, it's kind of a negative statement, but yet there's a positive that comes out of this negative statement. And I could say tonight that your pastor preaches to you with no little compassion. It sounds kind of different. What I get out of it, no matter how negative things might seem, there's a positive that comes out of it. Praise the Lord. There's a positive. And thank God that you have a pastor that is filled with compassion and burden. Praise the Lord to preach and to pastor and to shepherd you. There have been so many pastors that have come and gone since I've been here. There were so many that had come and gone in Kansas before I got here. And here we are. We almost represent about 50 years of pastoring. You, your pastor, and myself. And a lot of laughter and good times together. Praise the Lord. But it's hard to find that. It's hard to find that. But after seeing what God's done and pastoring many generations, praise the Lord. And your kids sometimes will surprise you. I was surprised for a young man. His name's Carlos, and boy, he's very mischievous. I think he's in second grade, and he's a little gangster. He's a gangster. But I was praying. I forgot to pray. I prayed for one sister, but her brother had not come to me to get prayed for, and everybody was gone. I said, brother, I want to pray for you. You're going to have surgery. And his two sons were standing by him, and it was just us three and myself. I got the other bottle of oil out of my office, began to pray for him in our gym, and his surgery was successful. He's doing all right. But the Herreras had forgot something, and they backed their vehicle up, and Carlos come running in, and I thought he was going to interrupt the prayer because he's just a gangster. But out of the one corner of the eye, we were all praying. I had my hand on the brother's head, and I saw Carlos run over to us. And he ran over to us, and he grabbed the hand of the brother, or the arm of the brother that I was praying for, and he started praying with us. And I thought, I am reaching him. Sunday school's helping him. God's doing a work in his home, in his family. Praise the Lord. I'm telling you, it's good to be in the church. This is not just a term of time. This is a life, my brother, my sister. This is a lifelong commitment when you live for God. Helen, you can be happy where God plants and places you. Praise the Lord. No matter if there's just a piece of a broken experience you're holding on to. Just keep holding on to it and see if God won't. See, in that island, Paul didn't realize that, but there was another ship that was there that he did not know about that was going to take him to where God was leading him. Praise the Lord. It was a duplicate. It was what he needed. Praise the Lord, to continue in his journey. Hallelujah. Oh, yes. Now, these barbarians, they were called barbarians because they were ignorant of Greek and Roman culture. And to the Greeks, they were the only cultured people in the human race. You were either Greek or barbarian. I'm so thankful for every nationality. God, bring them all into the church. Make us one compacted body. Oh, praise the Lord. I want us to look at Romans chapter number 1, verses 14 through 16. Thank you for helping me, Brother Reed. Romans 1, 14 through 16.
I am debtor both to the Greek.
I'm a debtor both. All right. All right.
Both to the wise and to the unwise.
All right.
For as much as is in me.
As much as is in me.
I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are all that are at Rome also.
Yes.
And I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ.
Everybody said that together. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ.
For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that it believeth.
It's the power of God unto salvation to
the Jew first. And also to the Greek.
And the Greek. Praise the Lord. Boy, I'm glad the barbarians are included there. That helps me. I said that it helps me feel welcome into the kingdom of God. Praise the Lord, everybody. Oh, hallelujah. The word barbarous actually just means unintelligible sounds of foreign speech. So everyone who did not speak Greek was considered a barbarian. My goodness. I don't know why people could take out of this Bible the experience of speaking in other tongues as the Spirit gives the utterance. I don't know how they can just erase that from their Bible when God used that and chose that as the evidence of his salvation. Are you thankful? Praise the Lord. Yes, I was scared that night back in the 70s, but I knew, hallelujah, I needed something to help me change my life. I didn't walk around, prove it. I said, oh, let me have it. I'm going to take you at your word. You're saying it's in the Bible, and God gave it to me. I said, God gave it to me. Begin to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave the utterance, but it was more than just the other tongues. It was the transformation that was working on the inside. God was changing my affections. Praise the Lord. God done a lot for me that night. He changed and delivered me from addictions. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I went through the AA program that night. Once an apostolic, always an apostolic. Praise the Lord. I went there a drinker that night. I left as a non-drinker of alcohol. I went there as a smoker that night. I left as a non-smoker. I'm talking about just my first night in the church. I got baptized in Jesus' name. In fact, I started noticing that on the way home in the next few days, I lost probably half of my vocabulary. What happened? I tell you what happened. He got a hold of me. Hallelujah. He changed me. Praise the Lord.
Amen. We've got people coming. We're trying to encourage them because they were brought up to believe that speaking in tongues is not necessary. You don't have to. If God says it is, and if that's how they got in the church on the day of Pentecost, then that's how we're still getting in the church. Praise God, all 120 spoke in other tongues as the Spirit gave them the utterance. And I noticed in my Bible, in 1 Corinthians 14 and 1, let me tell you something. Let me tell you something. Let's see what the Bible says. I hope this is all right. This is what I felt today. Praise the Lord. This is what I tell our new people that come. This is what God wants to do in your life. Let's look at 1 through 4.
Follow after charity.
Follow after charity.
Desire spiritual gifts.
All right.
But rather that you may prophesy.
All right. Go ahead.
For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue.
He that speaketh in an unknown tongue.
Speaketh not unto men.
Speaketh not unto men, but unto God. Just stop right here. Nobody understands it, but go on again.
For no man understandeth him, howbeit in the Spirit.
In the Spirit? He's speaking mysteries? Praise the Lord. I keep telling this young man, he's coming along, that he's been brought up all his upbringing, that tongues is not necessary. We're taught just to pray. Well, let me tell you something. Hey, if you want to talk to God, the Bible said you're speaking mysteries unto God. Hallelujah. You're not talking to man. You're talking to God. And I'm not saying we do that all the time, but when you get renewed in that salvation, you talk to God some more. Hallelujah. And I don't want it to become a ritual. I still want the utterance of the Spirit to speak through me. I know that's not how we have church and we build a church on, but that is the result of having church, preaching the gospel, singing the songs of Zion, testifying of God's greatness, testifying of God's healing power, that when it's time to pray, hey, who doesn't want to talk to God? And when you speak in that unknown tongue, you're going to talk to God. I said you're going to talk to God and you're going to speak in mysteries to the Lord. Thank God for the baptism of the Holy Ghost. It's in your Bible. It's in my Bible. Why should it not be in our heart, in our life, an experience that we can talk to God? Oh, I want to talk to God.
Continue on that, brother. Read to the fourth verse.
But he that prophesieth speaketh unto men to edification.
All right.
Exhortation and comfort.
Let me just say this. Now I know Paul's talking about speaking other tongues. Well, that's just going to divide everybody. You know, let me tell you something. God used tongues to divide people at the Tower of Babel. They couldn't finish the building program. They couldn't finish the building. Somebody must have been communicating in this building. Building this building. But God took the language barrier there and used tongues to unite a people of God. These were tongues that were magnifying God and glorifying God. It's not about, well, what language they speak in, what nationality or culture are they talking in? Hey, it's none of our business. There are tongues of men, but the Bible said there are tongues of angels. And I'm not interested in what language, this or that. I just know that I got to talk to God if I'm going to keep this Holy Ghost alive in my life. And when you look at this word prophesied, it's in our Old Testament. It's about prophets in old and new that foretell events. But let me tell you something. Amen. It also means to speak under inspiration. Praise the Lord.
And that's why Paul said, when you come to have church, it's better you prophesy. You tell one another how good God is. You sing songs and God anoints them. You're ministering unto one another. You're touching unbelievers, praise the Lord. That's how we have church. Some people think all we do is come together and just speak in a no. It's better to prophesy. Hallelujah. In fact, that when you're speaking, you're not being a liar, deceiver, but man, I feel like I can live for God no matter what comes my way. Hey, I want God to use me in that prophecy. Hallelujah. I'm going to make it through another year. I'm inspirationally telling you that greater is he that's in me than he that's in this world. I'm not trying to bring confusion. I'm just telling you that everybody here that has the Holy Ghost, there ought to be a spirit of inspiration that can come over you, that you can give a testimony. You can encourage somebody. That's what church is all about. But when it comes to God's part, it's talking to God, we've got to have this tongue-talking experience. But we got to know how to prophesy. We got to know how to be inspired to preach. And to encourage.
I keep interrupting you. Sorry, brother. Did you get through verse 4? Sorry.
He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth
himself.
He that prophesieth edifieth the church.
Praise the Lord. It's a personal salvation. Hallelujah. We're edifying. Do my best to edify everybody here tonight, prophesying, telling you things of God's good. You can overcome hell on earth. In fact, the gates of hell shall not prevail against this church. Praise the Lord. In that same chapter, go through 23 through 25.
If therefore the whole church be come together into one place.
If the whole church comes together. I know not everybody's here, but you know what? I don't know. I've been pastoring for 24 years and 3 months. I don't know if there's ever been a service where everybody's there. I'm working on that. The whole church, or three quarters of the church. Go ahead.
And all speak with tongues. And there come in those.
People think Pentecostals are crazy, that all you do is come through those doors and you talk in tongues for 2 hours. That is not the truth. You talk about being full-fledged barbarians. Go ahead, brother. Keep interrupting me. Go ahead.
And all speak with tongues.
All speak with tongues.
And there come in those that are unlearned or unbelievers.
And there come unbelievers or those that
are mad.
Aren't they going to say you're mad? Get me out of here. I remember teaching Bible studies in the jail that when I got past that first door and those doors, bam, you're locked in there. Wouldn't it be scary to unbelievers and first-time comers to church that when they come through the church doors, bam, they're locked in. But you can leave anytime you want to. But, man, the church is kind of like Folgers. It's good to the last drop. Praise the Lord. Read on, brother, through 25.
But if all prophesy and there come in one that believeth not,
if all prophesy and talk how good God is, hey, God's been good to me. He helped me in my report card finally. I got a raise in my job. I'm working on the third floor now. God's been good. Amen. There's been a situation that's getting better. Hey, when we come and we prophesy one to another, God's working among us. All right? He's convinced of all. He's judged of all.
And thus are the secrets of his heart made manifest.
And while you're prophesying, that unbeliever or that one that does not understand everything about God, they're convinced there's something to this Acts 2:38 gospel. All right?
And so falling down on his face.
He comes to an altar and falls on his face and he worships God. That's the kind of church Paul is telling us to have. Oh, praise the Lord.
I'm not afraid of that 14th chapter because speaking in tongues is of the Lord. And this is how we'll clear that. And the last part of that 14th chapter, verses 39 and 40. This is what Paul said to the church.
Wherefore, brethren,
do what? What was that first part, brethren? Covet?
Covet to prophesy.
Covet to prophesy. And then what?
And forbid not to speak with tongues.
And forbid not to speak with tongues. Hallelujah. When you begin to tell people, well, the Holy Ghost has done for you. Then you tell them all you got to do is repent, be baptized in Jesus' name. God will fill you with the Holy Ghost. You'll speak in other tongues. Praise the Lord. Forbid not to speak. Oh, praise the Lord. Let's thank God for this experience tonight. Oh, man. I'm going too long. Hallelujah. Oh, do I need to run a check on these people? What is this called? Life Tabernacle? New Life Tabernacle? I need to go home and punch everybody's name in and see where they come from. See if they are of this world in any way. Praise the Lord. No, all you got to do is look at Acts chapter 4 and verse 13. This sums it up, brother. This sums it up, sister. We're just common people with a great salvation. Oh, hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
When they saw the boldness of Peter and John.
Hey, these guys are unlearned. They're ignorant.
They marveled.
They took knowledge.
That they had been
with Jesus. I saw the way you worship, and I saw you young men come to the front here, and the others come up, and the sisters that were worship. There was a knowledge that came over me. Hey, these folks have been with Jesus. You just don't come and turn on a switch in an apostolic church. But when you got folks coming in here, amen, they may be ignorant to the world standards. They might be unlearned in the seminaries, but they know it's church time. They know it's time to prophesy. It's time to speak under the inspiration of Almighty God. Hallelujah. I took knowledge. Those people in Santa Ana, California, they have been with Jesus. Oh, let's praise the Lord tonight. Oh, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. At the beginning of the church in Acts chapter 2, they spoke in other tongues. That's how they got in the church. And in the book of Acts, in the beginning of the church, the amen, the history of the church, anybody associated with Jesus Christ, they spoke in other tongues as the Spirit gave the utterance. But they knew how to prophesy. They knew how to bring people to that place where they could speak to God the right way and confirm that God is in the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. Amen. Many unbelievers heard Peter and John praying at the temple three times a day. No doubt prophesying, praying for their friends and praying for, amen, the religious people that day, praying for miracles. Up to that point, over 8,000 people had received the Holy Ghost at the beginning of the history of this church. Oh, hallelujah. And this Pentecostal message began to spread throughout Jerusalem and other regions. Since that day, I believe millions have received this experience. Amen. And I know there are religious historians that will tell you there was a dark age that a couple centuries ago where the church died out. The Reformation, where the church died out. I believe with all my heart since Acts chapter 2 and verse number 1. Because the Bible said at the end of that chapter that the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. I don't think I'm out of the book when I tell you that since the day of Pentecost, every day until 2017, this present day, somebody has received the Holy Ghost somewhere in this world. Oh, I pray, God, let the work of God add people to the church in Augusta. Let the church have a daily increase in independence in Southeast Kansas. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, hallelujah. Praise God, hallelujah. I'm not worried about any shipwreck at all because God's got it all under control.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Oh, let's praise Him right now. This feels like Sunday night.
The Bible talks about us being strangers from the covenants of promise. We were strangers. Hallelujah. We were not a people, but now we're the people of God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. One man said that you do not know what real life is unless you've been extremely cold and learned the value of a little fire. These 276 stranded people from the ship, including Paul, it was very cold. And these barbarians people, non-Greek people, built a fire. Oh, thank God for a pastor that can build a fire. I feel that fire has been built here tonight. Praise the Lord. Or have a little food. It might not be the fanciest of meals or the nicest restaurant, but just to be sustained when you're in starvation. Praise the Lord. And when that fire, that's kind of a culture up in New Brunswick, Canada. We spent 3 months up there evangelizing, and we met people up in that, in Quebec, French-speaking people, and they'll say, come on into the house, meet somebody, and go out the front yard, let's make a fire. And you don't need a fire in June, but that's their way of hospitality. Praise the Lord. And who was in the midst of adding wood to the fire? It was Paul, the prisoner, the Apostle Paul, the one God used to speak, hang on to the ship. We're not going to perish. Let me tell you about the ship of Zion. It'll never bust up. It'll never break up. And it'll always have broken lives on it that God has put back together. Let me tell you something about the real apostolic Pentecostal church. The last thing we're interested in is handling a snake. I remember going on outreach my first year in the church, and we knocked on this door, and this woman said, are you those Pentecostal snake handlers? I don't know what you're talking about. The thought scares me. I don't want to touch them with the 100-foot flashlight. Praise the Lord. Now, can I go ahead and finish this? Amen. Praise the Lord. Matthew 12 and 34. Now, Paul had gathered a bundle of dry sticks. He was just wanting to increase the fire. Can I get a witness? And a snake came out of that heat. Praise the Lord. I don't know if I should praise the Lord after that, but anyhow. And these goofy people that come in the name of Pentecost, they're the crazy people. I preached a revival in Kentucky, and the pastor said, Elder, I can take you to a snake handling church. I said, no, thank you. Let's go look at all the boot. What are those guys called that make the whiskey? Okay. Praise the Lord. Paul didn't just grab the snake. Oh, we're having revival. But that viper latched on him, and he just... He wasn't operating in faith. He was operating in works. These people that want to operate in faith where they could handle snakes. Or somebody said a while back that we're in the millennial kingdom right now. A preacher told me that several years ago. A Kansas preacher of all preachers. I said, let's go to the zoo in Tulsa. We'll find out real quick. I'll take you to the lion's den. We'll see if we're in the millennial kingdom when you step into that lion's den. Paul just shook it off. I said, Paul just shook that thing off. Faith without works is dead. I don't need faith to believe I can handle a poisonous snake or poison. I'm just going to shake it off. And there's some things in your life that you just need to shake it off in prayer. Don't expect God for you to carry it around. For week after week and month after month and God forbid year after year. Shake that off and get back to the fire. Get back to the Holy Ghost experience. Shake it off. See, there's a difference in just a regular snake. A viper, they like to latch on. Did I give you Matthew 12, 34?
O generation of vipers.
Is that in red? Jesus said that, right? I can start over again. I'm sorry.
Oh, generation of vipers.
How can ye be evil? How can you be evil?
Speak good things.
Speak good things.
Out of the abundance of the heart.
The mouth speaketh. Oh, ye vipers. Oh, God. God, help me tonight to be kind and to be understanding here tonight, but anybody that would take away the promise of God and talk you out of it and try to sell you a gospel that's powerless, that's raptureless, that's hopeless, and try to latch on to you, I say, shake it off, lift up your hands. That's why I told that young man, he said, we're taught just to prophesy. I said, you're not going to know how to prophesy until you get the Spirit to prophesy in. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank God he delivered me. I'm telling you, when I was searching for God, I went to some large groups in Southern California. They had a form. They had a resemblance of Pentecost, but there was no power. There was no victory. I'm so thankful God was kind to open my eyes and just keep on searching. Hallelujah. It's God's will to bring people to a place where their eyes can be open, where they can shake off those vipers of false religion and false doctrine. Oh, hallelujah. Those that have a form of godliness, but they deny the power. Let's all stand tonight. Let's reach out to the Lord. Would you pray, church? God bless you. Would you pray, church? Oh, yes. Would you pray in the Spirit? Hallelujah. I want to tell you, world. I want to tell you, devil. We've got news for you. Hallelujah. Praise God. Our last church van we got, I told my wife, I want to put on the side of that van the Pentecostals.
Amen.
I know we can glory in the doctrine of apostolic, and that's great, but you got to remember before there was an apostolic doctrine, there was an experience that represented Pentecost. I'm not ashamed being the Pentecostals of Independence, Kansas. And I know you're not ashamed being the apostolic Pentecostals of Augusta. Hallelujah. Oh, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. We don't play with serpents. We don't try to look for demons or devils or all this psychology. We just operate in the Holy Ghost. Oh, praise the Lord. I wonder tonight how many could come up here and everybody would. I think it's good if we all could come down here and just begin to seek the Lord. Begin to pray. And if you never had an experience where you talked to God, like Paul told us, talking to God, speaking unto God, that experience is for you. It can heal your heartache tonight. It can heal a nervous breakdown. If all you can do is weep in the presence of the Lord tonight, I'm telling you, God can turn things around for you. I feel this in the Holy Ghost.